bring you Christian greetings this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has given us the grace to win the race. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah for that grace. I'll tell you, I thank God every day for his wonderful love, mercy, and grace in our life. Take your Bible this morning, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. While you're getting that, I'd like to give a little update. Brother Ray asked that we give an update on our little report on our trip to Mexico. The trip was good. We had good traveling to and from. The time spent there was less intense than it was the first time. We received our stem cells, and that's all that really happened there, and we're looking now for healing, and we'll just wait to see what happens. It takes at least 6 months for those little stem cells to mature and grow and do their job, so we're just waiting for healing during that time. And we sure appreciate the cards that were sent along. That was a special gift. We opened a few every day, and the encouragement was just wonderful as we were away from home, and we really appreciate your love and your support, the phone calls, the text messages, little messages in the cards themselves. We read and appreciated, brought tears a lot as we thought of the tremendous love that this congregation has poured into our lives, I can only thank you. I'll never, ever be able to repay you. Dina and I will never, ever repay back the debt that we owe to this congregation. And we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Alex had sent me a message last Sunday. I got it too late to be announced on Sunday morning, so I'm just going to share that with you now. This was from last Sunday from Alex. He says, Sasha and most of our youth have been in Nezhin since Friday. Now, Sasha is Alex's oldest son, and he's involved with the youth ministry. And they went to a church where Tanya, that's Alex's wife, is from, originally from this church in Nezhin. That's where they went. And we've been sending support there as well. So Sasha and most of the youth went to that church, the Nezhin church, since last Friday. They spent the weekend there. They are participating in the youth conference there Friday and Saturday and are taking part in the church service today. Remember, this was last Sunday. Our church auditorium was full again this morning. We have a group of people ready to be baptized. Praise the Lord. There's some response to the gospel message that's being preached. That's our goal. That's what we're looking for, and we're praising God for that. At this time, we have 3 services a week, plus a youth meeting on Friday, so they're very busy. The work of translating and printing the Bible helps continues as usual. Also, we continue to distribute food among the people who live near the church house. Most of the time, we are without electric, yet the Lord has blessed us with the warm weather and sufficient amount of firewood. But in a few days, the temperature will drop below the freezing point, and many people will feel it immediately. The Russians are preparing to launch another large-scale rocket attack on Ukraine. Last time, they damaged some major energy facilities. If they damage more next time, the people of Ukraine will have even more problems with heat and electricity. So please keep us in your prayers. And we surely will hold them up. And I'm sure you will as well. I just can't imagine what it's like to live in those conditions. I pray we never have to experience that. So keep them in your prayers. Turn your Bibles, if you aren't already there, to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to begin reading at verse 10. On over to verse 19. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. These thoughts on our minds, let's humbly kneel for prayer.
I'll just say this quickly, and I think I can speak for everyone here. Brother Duane said that he and Dina could never pay the debt back. I just want to assure him publicly that there is no debt, brother. It's paid in full by the blood of the Lamb.
Good morning. I got a lot of thoughts going through my mind here this morning. To start, verse 19 there in Ephesians 6, that's a prayer of mine, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, not because I have the intelligence, but that the Holy Spirit would use me and speak through me. A number of months ago, on the way to church, we were listening to a CD I shared with Brother Duane Schilt. Brian Free and Assurance is a Southern gospel group, and we have a couple of their CDs. And the one song we were listening to, we were coming across Pigeon Hill Road over here, and it hit me right between the eyes. I'm gonna line that, and it just, I hope it hits you, or a couple of you, or maybe only one of you, the way it hit me. God has called me to go and take the good news to the lost. He's called all of us. He didn't just call those that stand behind this desk, those that stand in front of a Sunday school class, the deacons, the men. He called all of us to go and share the good news to the lost. God has called me to, is it teach, preach, sing, witness? So no matter what the cost, I will follow as he leads, for he has promised as I go, he will draw the world to him as I make his message known. Our Sunday school lesson really spoke to that this morning. As we go out into the world, rub shoulders with those that we maybe don't really care for. Are we witnessing to them? The next line, sometimes the road is long and sometimes the way is rough. Sometimes I lay awake and wonder if I've done enough. But then I rise to thank my God, for he had trusted me to once again lift high the cross so that everyone can see. We're to lift the cross up. Praise God. We can raise our hands in praise and honor and worship to him. And no matter where you work or what you do from day to day, every child of God is called to witness on the way. This is the chorus. And the title of the sermon this morning is My Job or My Life. It's not my job, it's my life. I don't sing, preach, teach, whatever it may be, for earthly gain. I do it all for Christ, to be a witness and a warrior and a living sacrifice. It's not my job, it's my life. I want to use 3 points out of that chorus: a witness, a warrior, and a living sacrifice for the outline this morning. And as we go through this, we're going to start out with a witness. If you want to turn to 1 John chapter 5, my main focus today is going to be on the middle point as a warrior. But here is a witness. What is a witness? What does a witness do? You know, we think of a witness in a court of law as someone that testifies of an experience that they've seen happen or maybe went through. A witness also, according to the Webster Dictionary, this would be along those same lines, that which furnishes evidence or proof. You know, we all can witness. We don't have to go out as witnesses, going out as missionaries necessarily. That's necessary, and we support a lot of that, but we all are witnesses every day. We can praise God. We can witness what he has done in our lives. He's changed each of us, or at least I hope so, has changed each of us. 1 John 5:5, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? I believe that we all believe Jesus is the Son of God here this morning. And we are going to be what? We're going to be overcomers. We're going to overcome the world. And it is amazing how Scripture ties together, written by different writers over many years, how that ties into Ephesians 6 and the whole armor of God, and how it also ties into later being overcomers. He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. So as we go out and we witness, what are ways that we can witness that as we go about each day? Maybe it's just through being understanding to somebody's needs. Maybe it's by caring for someone, helping them to do something. Maybe it's just being a friend. You know, there's a lot of people in the world that don't have friends like we experience here this morning. We have, I don't know how many people's here this morning, but I would consider all of you a friend, a witness. I'm going to read the rest of John 5 down to verse 9. John 5, 5 to verse 9. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. So we see there in verse 8, it says that the Spirit is one of the witnesses on earth. And if we are truly born again believers, we have the Spirit within us. So we have the witness of Jesus Christ living within us. And as we go about that witness, the Spirit should be evident. There's a lot of verses in Scripture. I looked up the word witness. The word witness is used 139 times throughout the Old Testament and New Testament. 119 different verses in it. A lot of times is referring to bearing false witness. We can be a witness for God, or we can be a witness against God. Which witness do you want to be this morning? You know, it doesn't matter as the song goes, it doesn't matter where we work or what we do from day to day, we're being a witness. Am I being a witness for God? Is my reaction to different circumstances, is my reaction to the way people treat me, is that being a witness for Christ? Or are people seeing us respond in a way that does not bring honor to God? I chose a few verses here throughout the New Testament. There's many, many. As I said, there's 119 that use the word witness. These verses here are using witness, being a witness to God, being a good witness. Matthew 24:14, and by the way, I've got a good many scriptures I'm going to read. I have them printed out here, so I'm not going to take the time to look them up. Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So the word of God is a witness as well. It speaks of him. It points to him. It tells about him. And it's true. John 1:7, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might be saved. John 1:8, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. John the Baptist, he came to make the path straight. He came as a witness for Jesus to prepare the way of the Lord. John the Baptist was pointing forwards to the coming of Christ. Am I pointing back to what Christ has done? Am I pointing to his second coming? That's part of our responsibility as a witness. Acts 22:15, for thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. What have I seen in my life? What have we witnessed? Are we telling all men? Or are we just sharing it here amongst us, sharing it with other believers? Or are we telling everybody? Acts 23:11, and the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. That was before Paul went to Rome. Paul wanted to visit Rome, but he didn't know how he was going to get there or that he was going to be a prisoner when he arrived. But he was going to Rome to be a witness. And lastly, Revelation 20:4, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. There are going to be those that give a witness in that, as you think about Revelations and the throne room and all that, those that gave a witness are going to be there. Those that were beheaded. You know, we don't know how our lives are going to end. We don't know what for persecution we may face. Some of them may be us. We don't know. So let's try to remember as we go about each day that we are being a witness. What kind of a witness are you being? What kind of a witness am I being? And as I share these thoughts, this is what hit me square. What kind of a witness am I being? I've not got this perfected. This is as much to me as it is to anybody, these thoughts and this sermon. Secondly, a warrior. Ephesians 6:10-18, really. I want to draw some parallels between the military and the Christian life. Now, by doing that, I'm not in any way condoning military activity or involvement, but I believe that they understand how to get a good soldier. They understand how to get men and women to be dedicated to a nation. And there in the first verse, verse 10, my papers are sliding around. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. As we think about a military, a soldier believes in the power of the country because of their war machinery, because of maybe their leaders. They believe in that power of that country. But oh, so much greater is the power and the might of God the Father. And we are to be strong. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Isaiah 53, verses 3 and 4. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. You know, as I read over that verse, and thoughts came to my mind of sometimes you see a couple helicopters flying over, and I've thought different times how that would be if you were a soldier in battle and you were pinned down by gunfire and you heard helicopters coming and you knew they were coming for you. That would be an exhilarating feeling. Know that there's hope. Know that there is possibly salvation coming. You know, when Jesus comes again, when he comes for his church, it's going to come suddenly. It's going to come faster than any helicopter can come. And when we hear that trumpet, that'll be an exhilarating feeling to know that salvation is coming, that Jesus is coming again. And I thought, as I studied over this, you know, there are many men in history. For those of you that are history buffs, I'm going to scratch the surface. But there are many men that are very well known and have left a legacy for being great warriors. David, what about David in the Old Testament? He was a great warrior. He killed Goliath. Goliath was a great warrior. He was a man of war. He was a big man, strong, and he had brothers. They were great men of war. And how many thousand years ago that took place, and we still know about him. There's many people that know about David and Goliath in that instance. Joshua, Alexander the Great, Napoleon, General Lee, George Washington. We could just go over a list of many men that are known for being men of war. They're well known for a physical war, being leaders and great in that physical war. For temporal things, do you or I want to be known for temporal things or eternal? You know, do we want to be known as men of war? Prayer warrior. Brother George is a prayer warrior here among us. There's many others of you that are prayer warriors. Bible study warriors. Those that read your Bible and know your Bible. What about encouragement warriors? We were encouraged this morning in the Sunday school lesson to look at others, and we're going to touch on it later about being sober-minded and not thinking more highly than we ought to think of ourselves. But what kind of warrior do you want to be known as? A great spiritual warrior is going to have the fruits of the Spirit evident in his life. Okay, verse 11. In Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The whole armor of God. Romans 13:12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. It's an armor that we need to know. We need to be familiar with the whole armor of God if we want to be effective warriors and soldiers. It's an armor that only has one piece of offensive weapon. That is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. You know, as you look at a soldier today, in the military, regardless of whether he's in the Army or the Marines or whatever division of the military he's in, they have a helmet, We're told to have a helmet of salvation, and what does that do? The helmet of salvation is to protect our heads, our brains, the part of our body that makes us all function, that we can think. And as I thought about the helmet of salvation there in verse 17, if we have our minds surrounded with protection, to keep our thoughts pure, to make us or help us to think on the Word of God, that is a helmet. If we think about our salvation as we go throughout the day and the price that was paid for that salvation, it's going to protect our minds. It's going to keep Satan from putting wrong thoughts into our heads, into our minds. I'm going to jump back up to verse 14 there. The truth. We're supposed to have our loins girt about with truth, the belt of truth. If we have ourselves surrounded with truth, and there's only one place we can find absolute truth, that's in the Word of God. If we have ourselves surrounded with that, we are protected on all sides. You know, different times you hear, you may pray and ask God to put a hedge of protection around you. This, I believe, is a hedge of protection, truth, a belt of truth, a breastplate of righteousness. Protects our heart. We need that righteousness in our heart protecting us, or our hearts will go after evil things. That's our natural tendencies. So put on that breastplate of righteousness. And a good soldier is going to have good shoes, good boots on. Have your feet shod with the gospel of peace. We are to be going, you know, there's different verses, and I don't have any of them down here, but as it says about the feet of those on the mountain, can't get it together, but sharing the peace, the gospel of peace, that is what we're supposed to be doing. We're not supposed to be going and trying to destroy as soldiers of this world do. Sometimes they are going to try to make peace, but a lot of times they cause much destruction in the process. Verse 16, above all the shield of faith. And what's that faith to do? What's that shield for? So it can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. You know, Satan's busy, extremely busy. I'm going to just share this. I shared this morning with the other ministers. Yesterday, I felt much opposition. I went to print out my notes, and the computer wouldn't work. I'd saved all of them a couple nights earlier, and I was going over them, and they weren't even all there. And then when I wanted to print them, it wouldn't print them. Satan, I feel, was very busy. And I began to become a little irritated and frustrated. But we are to have that shield of faith, that it will quench those darts of anger, the temptations. So above all, have the shield of faith. We've already talked about the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit as the only defensive weapon. Is that weapon to destroy, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God? Does that destroy? Has it ever destroyed any of you? Maybe has destroyed wrong attitudes in our hearts, but it is to build up, to encourage. It is truth. Verse 18, once we have the armor, we're not done. We need to pray. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We're to be praying, busy praying, being prayer warriors. And I believe that goes along with the pieces of armor, the whole armor of God. And then it says about standing. It says about to stand, to withstand, to stand against. What does it mean to stand against? You know, we believe, and I agree 100%, that we should be non-resistant. But as we've heard and it's been taught for many years, the spirit of non-resistance among us, I believe sometimes we've become somewhat lax on standing spiritually. To stand against spiritual warfare. To stand against means to, if you're against something, you're leaning against it, you're holding it back, you're resisting it. To stand against. Luke 14, 29 to 31. Lest happily after he hath laid for the foundation and is not able to finish it all, that behold, it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet that cometh against him with 20,000. That means he's going to be against him. He's trying to hold him back. We need to stand. We need to stand together. As I thought about as a warrior, you know, the military gets together and they are given instructions. They are giving briefings on what they are to do, what their mission is. You know, this morning I believe we're gathered here as warriors. And as we face the week ahead of us, we each have a mission. You know, and we can break this down. There's a group that's responsible for leading the Winter Bible School. There's a group that's responsible for this. There's a missions committee. We can look at that as individual special teams. You know, they have the Navy SEALs. They have all different special forces. But they all come together as one. And that's, I believe, can be a picture of us here this morning. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So he makes a way for us to escape. When there is a temptation, as we're standing against something, he makes a way for us to get away from that, to get a break. And the Spirit will stand, will continue to stand and hold. As a team, the same person can't be up front all the time. You need to step back and let somebody else lead. Another verse, Jude 1:24, I've found this to be very much of an encouragement. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. We're talking about standing. You know, when you get tired and you get weak, you tend to fall quicker. You tend to be more apt to fall. But he is able to keep us from falling. And then he is able to present us faultless. And that just about blows my mind. How Jesus can present us faultless before God, and it's because of the blood that he shed. But he will present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. So as we think of being a warrior, a spiritual warrior, we need to stand, we need to fight, we need to stand together. And we need to be familiar with our pieces of armor so we can use them effectively. If we don't know the Bible, we can't use it effectively as a sword. If we don't know our salvation, what our salvation is, if we don't know the truth, if we don't understand what peace is, we are not going to be an effective soldier. Third point this morning is a living sacrifice. In Romans 12, turn to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Romans 12, 1 to 3. I believe there's some great admonition here on how to be a living sacrifice. Verse 1, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, coming here this morning is an act of sacrifice. All of you could have been somewhere else, finding something else to do, possibly a job, making a living, making an income. But you chose to come here. That is part of being a living sacrifice. But we are to present our bodies. Hebrews 13, 15, and 16. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifice, God is well pleased. You know, God is pleased when we come here and we praise his name through song, through proclaiming the truth. He is praised. It pleases him. And that is an act of sacrifice. We're not talking about ourselves. We're not trying to lift ourselves up. You know, you go about and you hear news and people are constantly lifting themselves up. We are coming here to praise the name of God. Praise the name of Jesus. Psalm 69, verse 30 and 31. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hooves. So as you think about a burnt offering on a sacrifice, you see the altar and on top is a piece of meat or an animal with a fire and the smoke is ascending up to heaven. As we are here this morning and we pray and we sing and think of that as going up as smoke to heaven, it is a sacrifice and it brings pleasure. It's pleasing to God. In verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Not conformed. That is another way we can be a living sacrifice. Not be like the rest of the world. To be separate. James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus. And then also, I jumped from James to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1, 13, 14, and 15. I'm going to read that again. 1 Peter 13, chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so you be ye holy in all manner of conversation. We are to be separate. We are to be different than the world. We are not to be conformed. And then 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. We are to be different. We are to be separate. We are not to conform. That's one other way that we can be a living sacrifice. You know, the world is going to hate us for being different. They hated Jesus. They're going to hate us. Verse 3 in Romans 12, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. It's easy for me, I believe it's just probably easy for most of us, to tend to want to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. When we see somebody else do something, it's easy for me to say, well, that was really stupid. I would never do anything like that. Or how could you be so dumb? That's not right. We are not supposed to think more highly of ourselves than others. Soberly, what does the word soberly mean? We're supposed to think soberly. seriously. You know, when we're serious, what do we think about? We think about things that really matter. We think about what God has done for us. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. If we're not thinking soberly or seriously, he's going to devour us. We're not going to be using the faith, the shield of faith. The darts are going to get through. They're not going to be quenched. He will devour us. So as we go about this week, I'm speaking to myself. Let's be a witness for Christ. We're being a witness one way or another. Secondly, let's make sure we are the best, well-trained spiritual soldier that is out there. And there's one way to do that. That's to study, to pray, to know our armor, to know God, our Savior, so we can fight that battle. Thirdly, let us be a living sacrifice by praising God, by lifting up our hands and bringing honor to Him, by not being conformed, and by not thinking too highly of ourselves, to think soberly, to be serious. Two verses in closing. 1 John 4, 4 and 5. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are overcomers. Doesn't matter what you're struggling with, where you find yourself, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world.
Let's kneel and thank God for the message and the messenger this morning.